The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
You're listening to Fresh FM. I'm Chrissy Small, presenting Stranded in Paradise from the book by John Dix. In this show, you'll be hearing stories and songs from the history of New Zealand rock and roll from 1955 through to 1988.
Kia ora, this is John Dix, I'm the author of Stranded in Paradise, and you're listening to Fresh FM.
And that was The Kiwi Animal, Woman and Man Have Balance. In this episode of Stranded in Paradise, we're looking at chapter The Cult of Cult, Doing It Their Way. This is actually page 294 in the book by John Dix. The rise of Flying Nun coincided with the explosion and do-it-yourself releases, most of them coming from the more experimental school. The birthday party, Fall Disciples, who think that a screeching guitar, discordant bassline, freeform percussion thrash, and a Nick Cave wail is all that's required to prove themselves avant-garde. With scant record company interest, DIY releases remain their only resources. Some have later been invited to throw in their lot with Flying Nun. Well, no compromise there with Flying Nun. Acceptance and bigger sales. The do-it-yourself approach is often the only option open for those bands who pursued a musical path with limited commercial appeal. Its probable New Zealand beginnings came in mid-1980 when Wellington punk band Chuck Vomit and the Regurgitators advertised mail order cassettes and Rip It Up, although the DIY method can be traced back to 1978, when Red Mole financed the recording, pressing and packaging of their Crossing the Tracks album, which they sold at their gigs, and the following year saw Gary Havoc and the Hurricanes fully finance a 12-inch EP, which was distributed by RTC. Let's have a track by Red Mole, who were very avant-garde, of great theatre musical troupe. So let's have a listen to one of their songs, Casino Queen, from Cabaret in Taos, the NM show from 1979.
Yeah.
that, of course, featured Jan Preston on keyboards with Beaver and lyrics by Sally Rodwell. And, of course, other members included Neville Purvis and Alan Brunton in that group, along with others. Now, back to Stranded. With Ripper and Propeller in town, the DIY practice was initially ignored in Auckland, but at points further south, the practice really took off. Palmerston North's Jason Sadd and the Tears and Christchurch's Gordons both made their own singles in 1980, but it was Wellington which yielded the greatest number of DIY releases. The Mockers, the Steroids, released a single apiece, but the most interesting DIY release of the year was a four-band album recorded at Robbie Duncan's four-track studio and titled, well, XXXX. The bands all part of Wellington's new underground were Beat Rhythm Fashion, Life in the Fridge Exists, Naked Spots Dance and The Wall Sockets. All were relatively new groups whose music was so extreme that their few public performances were confined to the short-lived Thistle Hall and Billy the Club venues. Sunday afternoons in Cuba Mall and the numerous punk parties along the terrace. Only one of those outfits proved to be durable. Naked Spots Dance, who in 1982 dropped their DIY approach in favour of Flying Nun's distribution. There were other DIY Wellington bands in the early 80s, notably the Political Riot 111, who cracked the charts with 1981 at number 46, and the Subversive Radical at number 20, and Shoes This High. Let's have a wee listen to Riot 111 from 1981. This is from Goat's Milk Soap.
Boom! Fire! Fry! Swipe! Aim!
1981. You have to do it my way!
Yes.
You have stuffed up the economy! It is election year! You have to divide the country! Yous are African nationalist Axis war allies! Yeah. The National Party! Rugby, racialism, and beer! Control the media! Beef up the police state! Use buttons! It is now law and order!
Yes!
The new order!
Yes.
Afterwards, have a royal tour! Think big! Get to it, pig!
Yes.
Yahoo!
Ooh, Tisson! Oh, Tisson!
Hey!
Two things I hate. One's raceless and the other one's...
Blacks!
Good one, mate! Bloody! Oh, here you go.
Just a game of rugby anyhow.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
Well, the protests are all bloody
I reckon they should bloody bat them over the head. That's what I reckon. Yeah.
Oh, they're on the field!
There's a dance.
And that was Riot 111 with 1981. Of course, that was the one that hit number 46 on the charts. That group would certainly be given a lot of material in the current political climate at the moment, and it being election year as well. Don't forget to enrol. Let's have another listen to another of their songs, Subversive Radical, which hit number 20 on the charts. So here we go. It's a long one, so sit back and enjoy.
Element of truth. Element of trust. Element of trust. Element of free speech. Element of free speech. And element of action. And element of action. And element of action.
Well, that was certainly telling the powers that be, wasn't it? Okay, formed in late 1979, Shoes This High vocalist Brent Haywood, guitarist Kevin Hawkins, bassist Jessica Walker, sister of Toy Loves Jane, and drummer Chris Plummer was the ultimate no-compromise Wellington band. With a strong Beefheart influence, Shoes This High was definitely not for the squeamish or inattentive. They called their sound anti-music. The Shoes alienated a lot of punters, but at the same time built up a staunch cult following. In Auckland, where they moved in mid-1980, the cult included the Boot Boys, an unlikely combination, one camp fond of violence, the other filled with gentle, almost hippie-ish personalities. The Auckland following alarmed the band, and they returned to the capital at year's end, but work was still hard to come by. They released a DIY EP in January 81 and disbanded shortly after. Hawkins, Plummer and Walker stuck together as Fish School. Brent Haywood became Smelly Feet. Let's have a listen to a track by Shoes This High. This was found on YouTube and this is called Not Weighing.
Thank you.
Well, that was Shoes This High with Not Weighing. Now, I would have thought there was a kazoo in there, but actually it was Brent on vocals and Comb with Paper. So, yeah, there we go. Of course, Brent went on to become Smelly Feet, so I think we'll have a listen to one of his releases, and it's called Smelly Feet OHMS. It's a remix. So here we go. It's apparently a classic from 1981. Smelly Feet did his own thing with little chance of widespread appeal. Very strange songs, but not without charm and humour. He hitchhiked around the country on a busking tour and released a handful of DIY recordings before teaming up with Julie Cooper to form the Kiwi Animal in 1982. Based in Auckland, Kiwi Animal released albums, EPs, comics and booklets. Periodic performances sometimes included additional players, most times not. Their recordings utilised the Brian Gyson William Burroughs cut-up techniques, and their stage performances featured theatrical sketches to get the message across. A message often pessimistic, but really maudlin. Our first song in the show was by the Kiwi Animal, and we'll have another one now, and it is Mud Slinging.
Run. run for the water.
Acoustic, the Kiwi Animal found little favour with pub audiences, and their live appearances were generally self-promoted concerts in hired halls. Anti-fashion and anti-volume, Brent and Julie pursued their own musical direction with no regard to trends, past or present. Their cult was small but loyal. Frustrated by the record company refusal to tackle anything adventurous throughout 1981, more and more bands turned to DIY releases. The majors dismissed these outfits as no-hopers. The independents attempted to rectify the situation, but they simply couldn't accommodate the sheer numbers itching to get onto vinyl. Even the most inexperienced bands have long financed demo recordings to tout around the record companies. With the new indies showing the way, why not splash out a little more money, get 200 to 300 copies pressed, and voila, instant product. Stuff the quality, and who needs Simon Grigg, right? Take, for example, Auckland's Herco Pilots, led by the infamous Harry Ratbag. By mid-1980, Ratbag was already on his way to becoming a legend in his own lunchtime. The title of the Girls' tribute to Kiwi Rock's most notorious self-promoting personality. A Remuera schoolboy caught in the politics of punk, Ratbag became renowned from the late 70s as a regular letter writer to Rip It Up, generally sending in demented epistles and scathing diatribes against one local band or another. Finally, Ratbag decided he'd better show him how it's done, and along with fellow teenagers Chris Williams, guitar, and Steve Wester, drums, he formed the Herco Pilots. Harry, or Ari, played bass and sang badly, but with great enthusiasm. In late 1980, the trio decided the time had arrived to become record stars. We'll be right back. And that was the Herco Pilots with Essential Services. Short and maybe not so sweet. What differed between the Herco's final debut and what was to follow throughout the 80s was that those first songs were actually recorded in a professional studio, Harlequin. But the everything else was pure blueprint. From the master tape, 300 discs were pressed in Wellington, 300 labels and covers were printed on the cheap, Williams was an apprentice printer, and the three lads did all the rest themselves, packaging, posting, distributing. They called the EP Wonder Book and named their record company REM, after the suburb where they all lived. Released in April 1981, Wonder Book created enough interest and kind reviews to warrant a second release, a double EP, and REM even put out Elms for Children's debut, Danny Boy. Nothing to it, said Ratbag. In 1981, though both REM and Herco Pilots went west, Harry Ratbag became a rip it up writer.
Ha!
And that was Elms for Children, composer by Alfred Pruitt. It was perhaps inevitable that it would be in the provinces where bands had fewer opportunities that the DIY practice would really thrive, and a natural progression it was to cassette releases that many of the provincial bands turned. And why not? Go along to the local four-track bedroom studio, or even, in many cases, really do it yourself, and record direct into a cassette player. Place an ad and rip it up and dub off enough copies to meet orders. Throw in a photocopied handwritten information sheet and the ultimate do-it-yourself product. The original cassette-only label came out in 1981 with Ocean Records. The Ocean artists, Brian Grenville, Joss Hodelsman and others, weren't so much alternative performers as acronyms, survivors from another era, hippie musicians whose craft was long out of favour. The reason for the label's existence, though, was no different from the punky outfits which followed: lack of record company interest. By the end of 1981, there'd been a handful of DIY cassette releases, notably from New Plymouth's Nocturnal Projections, but the rush really began the following year. By mid-1983, review copies were arriving at Rip It Up at such a rate, the magazine began a tape-only column. Pioneers in the field were New Plymouth's label, I'm a Hit, run by Brian Wafer, Tapeland's Roger Shepherd, and the TVI people in Timaru. In late 83, Auckland's Paul Luca, a member of Phantom Fourth, formed Industrial Tapes, a collective attempting to cut down costs for cassette artists. And we'll leave this episode with a song by Nocturnal Projections. I think we'll look at You'll Never Know. And we'll continue this chapter in our next episode, which will be episode 71 of Stranded in Paradise.
I'm
This is John Dix. I'm the author of Stranded in Paradise, and you're listening to Fresh FM.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.